I was going to mention, well, I have some things to say tomorrow as well, but I was going to mention tonight, I told Brother Eddie, and I said, "Brother Eddie, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing like you." I forget what he said. Of course, he made light of it, but I loved the way Brother Eddie sang. And so don't be confused when we're in glory if you hear me singing. You know, I remember Brother Eddie was popped up on Thursdays while I was up here. He always made me nervous. He'd sneak in and I'd hear "Hallelujah," and I'd be like, "Oh, Brother Eddie's here." Well, thank God for him. I have some. The Lord put something on my heart tomorrow just to mention about Brother Eddie. I'm saving that for tomorrow. But it's true. We need to worship the Lord. Yes. I found that so important to praise Him. I wasn't always a praiser, you know. I wasn't always a worshiper. I kind of just, you know, I contemplated God. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I learned the importance of praise and worship. It's not just something we do. Just, you know, the titles sometimes are disturbing to me. We're Pentecostal, or we're charismatic, or, you know, we're pew jumpers, whatever you want to call it. No, we're not any of that. We're worshipers. We worship Him because He's worthy, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there is a benefit to praise, because it's a great weapon. Have you found that out? Yeah, some of you have. Some of the saints are saying, absolutely. Some of the staff are like, "Do you think he's going to be long tonight?" Well, I was there too. I'm going to ask you to turn to a small portion of Scripture. 1 Timothy 12. And I think it's a familiar Scripture to all of us here. I wouldn't doubt if it was to every one of us a familiar Scripture. 1 Timothy 6:12. Did I leave out the 6? Well, what's wrong with you? Some of the saints should have just known that. Right? 1 Timothy 6:12. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm fast track. I got my mind on fast track, so I'm leaving numbers out tonight. 1 Timothy 6:12. You know what it says there? And I'll be talking more about this as the days go on. But it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Can we say that together? Fight the good fight of faith. Now, hold on. We'll get there. Let's say it one more time. And I'm going to see everyone saying it. Okay? Because pastors have a weapon called embarrassment, and I use it. So come on, say it with me now. Ready? Fight the good fight of faith. There's something to that, isn't it? I was with my wife who couldn't make it up, but up here with me this year. But you know, we were together, and I was talking with this other couple, and I said to them, my wife and I have been married going on 32 years. And at that time, I said, you know, my wife and I, as we were talking to this couple, I said, we've been married for 30 years. And, you know, we hardly had any fights. I said, God has put us together and we're so compatible. It's beautiful. And it's amazing how, you know, we really don't argue. And Diane said, well, there was that one time. And I said, no, what one time? And she said, well, remember that one time you said we should go there? And I said, I don't remember that. And so right there in front of that couple, you know, we had fight number two. I looked up the word fight. You know, the internet is tremendous that we have just at a touch, we can, you know, look up our words. A dictionary, and easy, and you don't have to pull out the big dictionary. Vocabulary.com And this is what it says about that word fight. The verb fight means to engage in a struggle that involves conflict. And as a noun, fight is the conflict itself. You're all getting educated. A fight can take a physical form, like a boxing match or a playground skirmish, or it can happen with words, like a fight over politics. We'll move on quickly. The ancient root of fight comes from the Proto-Indo-European prefix pex, meaning to pluck out. Picture a hair-pulling fight, and this makes complete sense. Vocabulary.com. You'll all be doing that tonight. Well, that's what that word fight means. I thought of a few other words that we... Have you ever heard of the word fisticuffs? All right, some of you have? Anybody here never hear that, fisticuffs? That's new to you? Okay. I wondered about if, you know, from my generation, whenever there was a squabble in school, it was like, oh yeah, fisticuffs. Not really. It's a 17th century term, fisticuffs. Fist fight, I thought of. Hey, duke it out. Do they still say that today? Do they say that in school, guys? No? No? No, Tevin says no. Slug it out. No. All right, you don't have to say it disgusting. Like, no, he's getting so old. How about this I've heard? I got sucker punched. You've heard that? Do they still use that? No, okay. How about a rumble? Was there a rumble? You know? I'm not quite from the city, but to me that applies. There was a rumble. Well, I thought of all of these words that have to do with fighting. In 1970s, I ended up in Thorne Junior High. Now, it's around 74, and I don't know how it is today, but when I was in junior high, it was a war zone. It just seemed like that every day there was a fight in the hallway. And some of those fights were horrific. Kids just going at each other. I don't even know what they were fighting over. Sometimes they were just fighting over because they were passing in the hall and one guy looked at another guy. And then all of a sudden there was this eruption of a fight. It was a terrible, terrible time of just a lot of fights. I just recall that. I talk to kids today, and it doesn't seem so much, at least not in my area. Some people just like to fight. Have you come across some people who just like to fight, and you know it? You know, you can say, how are you today? Well, what business is of that of yours? Why are you asking? Why, I don't look good? You know, have you ever met people like that? I like people like that. They're interesting. They give a little spice to the morning. We have one gentleman, he's a Swiss gentleman. I love him. He's so interesting. He said, Pastor, I want to take you and I want to take you golfing. Now, I don't like golf. But when you're a pastor, you learn to like things. And so I went and he said, we'll start at the driving range. And so we were hitting balls and that was kind of fun. You know, you're supposed to hit them straight, but you just hit them. And a lot of aggression gets out. And he said, after we got doing that, he said, now we're going to go to the coffee shop and antagonize people. And I said, I hadn't heard that word antagonize in a long time. And you know, we went into the coffee shop and he did just that. Starting with the waiter, and then starting with anybody who passed by in a very loving Christian way. I had a friend, Pat Villani, and this was going back to high school. Now, Pat was a wrestler, and wrestling is that's where he should have kept his fighting skills. But Pat, he'd love to wrestle anybody. My friend Frank and I became friends with him because it was very intelligent and smart to befriend somebody who's big and strong, particularly when your school was like a war zone. And so we befriended him. He liked us because he was like, you guys are funny. You guys are funny. Yeah. But the only thing with Pat is that because of his nature, you never knew when he was going to get you in a chokehold. In a very loving, friendly, you're my buddy way. Except for one thing, and that's the lack of oxygen that I was taking in. But I remember Pat just one night. Now, I don't know what happened, but we went over his place. There was this group called KISS years ago. They were famous, and they were all made up with all this makeup and stuff. He put that on, and he wrecked his room with us. That's when Frank and I said, let's not befriend Pat anymore. But some people love to fight. Some people have that nature. You know, I don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. I don't, you know, even though I went to school in a war zone, I don't like to fight. I'm more like the cowardly lion, you know? Just sort of like, you know, just a lot of roar, but really no claws. But we have this verse before us. Fight the what? The good fight. The good fight. It's a good fight. Do you recall the day when the Lord Jesus saved you? When I'm talking about you joined a church or you started going to church. I'm saying when you got saved and you knew that your sins were covered by the blood of the Lamb. And more than that, more than your sins being forgiven and taken away, more than that, something happened. You came to know the Father through Jesus Christ. And His Spirit witnessed with your spirit that you who were a child of God, you were saved, and now you're on the narrow way. Oh, I love watching. Which I'm watching this begin anew in this young woman coming to the chapel. She's out there yet, but, you know, she's on the narrow way. And it's exciting when you see someone starting, you know, I found Jesus in that way. But do you recall when that happened to you and you discovered on that narrow way that you have to fight sometimes? Do you remember that? That God calls you to fight sometimes. To fight the good fight of faith. Do you know what I mean? Has anybody else other than myself discovered that? Well, it'd be nice if you threw an amen in there once in a while. Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's so true. Because God works everything out for you. This young lady, God in a tremendous way has heard prayers. And I mentioned to her, I said, God is so good and he's going to protect you and guide you and keep you. But get your dukes up. You're going to have to learn to fight. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Exodus 14. Because in Exodus 14, if you know the word of God, you know that that's when God delivered the children of Israel in a mighty way out of Egypt. He heard their cry and he delivered them. And of course, we equate that so much with how God saved us from the world. Delivered us, of course, with the children of Israel, who's with the plagues, and a mighty hand that he pulled them out. But they were about to learn something. They were about to learn that there's an enemy that wants to keep them captive, even outside of Egypt. This is what we take a look at verse 9. We'll start there. Verse 9 says, so the Egyptians pursued them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and look what it says, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, excuse my pronunciation, unless you can say it better. Well, I looked at that word, overtook them. You wouldn't expect that. Right? That God delivers them, God brings them out, and then we read that the enemy's overtook them. It said there that the Egyptians pursued them. Have you ever been pursued? Have you ever been pursued? I had a spider pursue me. I'm not making that up. In fact, I had one this morning. Brother James rescued me. Thank you. Thank you, bro. Got that nasty thing off. He was going right for the jugular and saved my life. But, you know, I had a most frightening event with a spider. And it was a good, huge one that Jersey has. They breed them there. And, you know, that thing was like, look at the size of that spider. And then, look at the size of that spider that's coming at me. So I moved out of the way. And, you know, it was pursuing me. You know what I'm talking about, Elizabeth, right? She lives in Jersey, too. Spiders in Jersey are angry. But it's a terrible thing to be pursued. And I thought of what these poor people went through being pursued. But there are other things on the narrow way that you find out will pursue you. And without being facetious, sometimes it's rough. Sometimes worry pursues us. Have you ever had worry pursue you? You know, you try not to think about it. You do everything you hear, but it pursues you. And you lie down at night, and you say, I'm not thinking about this anymore. Thinking about what? That thing. What thing? You know the thing. And you start thinking about it, right? Now, I torment my wife because she says, what are you so stressed? What are you worried about? I say, I can't remember, and that bothers me. So you got to work on remembering it, right? Yeah, the enemy pursues us in that way. How about this? He pursues us with fears. He intimidates us with fear. He pursues us with sometimes our past. Brings it up, right? Reminds us of it. The Egyptians were pursuing the children of Israel, but we have things on the narrow way that pursue us. We read in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. It says there, and so they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I looked at those two things, they were afraid. Can you really blame them for being afraid? I think if we were there with our children and our family, and yes, we were amazed by the great power of God being delivered out of Egypt. But then to have an army, and what did it say? The horses, the chariots, the horsemen, the army overtaking them. I think we would be afraid too. I think our knees would be knocking together. And it says there, though, that the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I just want to make a quick comment on those two things. Because when we're afraid, it all comes down to how we cry. It all comes down to how we cry. Because we can cry, or we can have a cry. And I've found that when you read the Psalms, you find out that it's best not to just cry, but to have a cry. Because to have a cry means that you're exercising faith. And they didn't have that. The problem with fear is this. The problem is with fear is focus. When you look at it, you'll discover something, that both faith and fear are powered by focus. Both faith and fear are powered by focus. And the enemy wants to get you to focus on the fear. Well, I'll give you an example. I had an elderly friend, and one time he said to me, look at this thing that's on my hand. And I couldn't quite tell what it was. I said to me, it looks like an age spot. But he said, no, nope. I think it's something other. And you know, I had to take a drive with him, and it was a couple hours. And I noticed while he was driving, he kept doing this. He would look at the road, and then he'd look at his hand, and then he was like looking at that. Then he'd rub it once in a while, and he was so focused on that. And then he did a real intelligent thing. He went home and got on the internet, and he found out that, you know, looking at that thing, that it was this incredible this, that, and the other thing. And all his attention and his focus was now on that. You know what it was, don't you? It was an age spot. The enemy loves to get you to focus on that. God pulls us to focus on Him. And that there's a power when we turn our eyes to Christ. I want to ask us tonight, how good are we at moving our focus? The children of Israel, yes, they had a reason to be afraid. But they needed to get their focus off of the enemy and onto their God who had delivered them. And that is so important. Look at the results of their focusing on fear. We see it here in verses 11 and 12. This is what it says. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? And look at the questions they ask. 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I want to just bring two things to your attention here. That what part of the results of focusing on your fear is two things. The enemy's going to bring up questions. And look at the questions they asked. The other thing that the enemy's going to bring up is, this is just as I thought it was going to go. Have you ever said that? Well, this is just as I thought. And that's what they were saying. Didn't we say to you that when we were in Egypt, that it might have been better for us to stay here, right? Watch out for those things. Questions can get so loud that we don't hear the answer. Well, let's move on. Look at verse 13. And Moses said to the people, three things. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Well, let's just take a look at that in closing. Those three things are really three elements of our faith, aren't they? What is it? The first one there is, do not be afraid. How many times did he later on tell Joshua to take courage? Has the Holy Spirit ever said to you, when you were in a situation, take courage, don't be afraid? Now, it's one thing when somebody says that to you. It's another thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart when you're in that situation, when you're in that trial, and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, don't be afraid. You know, we need to sit up and we need to say, thank you, Lord. Okay. Because God will always empower you when He gives a command. Isn't that what happened when Peter said to Him in that storm, Lord, if that's You, then command me to come to You. Peter, he got that much. Maybe he missed some things, but he got that much. That if Christ were to command me, I could go. And so when you're going through something, whatever that may be, when you hear the Holy Spirit say, don't be afraid, it makes all the difference. I like what it says in Philippians 4. The apostle writes and he says, in one translation, he says, don't worry. And I always found that annoying when you're going through a time of trouble and somebody says to you, don't worry about it. Huh? Right? But the apostle Paul writes and he says, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. I like what he says. He says, instead, you know, make a trade-off. There's something else we can do than being afraid or being anxious and worried. He says there's something you can do instead of that. And what is it? Well, you pray, give thanks in thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And the promise there in Philippians 4 is that He'll give us a peace that passeth all our understanding. But the second thing is that we see here was, Moses said to them, stand still. Stand still. That's the hardest thing, right? To just stand still. To just say, wait a minute. I could do this, I could do that. I have all kinds of things I can do. But God says, stand still. Just be still and know that He's God. There's a third thing, and that's this, and I love this so much. See, he said. See. It's that expectation, that anticipation that God, you're going to move and you're going to work. You're going to accomplish everything that you said. Take a good look at that tonight. I want to just leave that with you. When it comes to this good fight of faith, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the fight. Why? It's a good fight. It's a good fight, the apostle wrote to Timothy. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting. You may not be the best fighter. You may not be a person like myself who really does, I really don't want any conflict. But this is a fight that's worth fighting. This is a good fight. So don't be afraid of it. The other thing is to stand. Having done all the apostle writes, stand. And then lastly is this. Wait and see what God is going to do. I get a kick out of 15, because after Moses gives them that instructions, God says to him, well, what are you crying to me about? Let's go, right? Sometimes it comes down to that. Let's go. The fight's on. Let's do it. Father, we thank you that the fight of faith, the good fight of faith, is because we have an awesome God who's won the victory for us already. Lord, we pray that you will teach our hands to fight and Lord, our fingers to war. We pray, oh God, that if anyone here on the narrow way is in any wise, Lord, in a time of perhaps conflict, you'll help them to fight the good fight of faith. You'll help them, Lord, to know that you're with them. That, Lord Jesus, that the battle is yours. And that although we're called to fight, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, Lord God, that you have given us your Spirit, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks for this. We commit ourselves to you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing yet Onward Christian Soldiers. It's 167. 167. And let's stand together.
Church of Jesus, constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the Church rebel. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to
circumstances, but yes. Pressing on,
yes,
from one
Lord.
Victory to another.
Amen. Yes,
Lord,
Lord,
we ask that also for this camp. In
yes.
Jesus' precious name.
Yes, dear God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.